It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. The first hurricane of the year will strike Florida this week. Tropical storm Idalia expected to blow up into a Cat 1 or Cat 2 storm by the time she roars ashore on Wednesday afternoon.
Now forecast to be a 110 mile per hour Category 2 hurricane. 111? Is Cat 3, major hurricane. And the Hurricane Center says that's not out of the question.
Meteorologist Bobby Duskin says Idalia will slam into the Gulf Coast of Florida midweek.
If you're asked to evacuate, please do so. I don't need you to go hundreds of miles. Just go 10 miles. Have a friend or family member or hotel, something that's out of that flood zone.
Rain and storm surge could be the biggest dangers with this storm. Hurricane watches are up along Florida's west coast near Tampa. Three U.S. Marines are dead, eight others hurt following the crash of a military helicopter. It happened during a training exercise off the coast of Australia. 23 Marines were aboard the Osprey aircraft when it went down. Elise Preston has the latest from Camp Pendleton, California.
The military aircraft crashed near Darwin, Australia, just seconds after the pilot radioed in an emergency. U.S. officials tell CBS News the crash involved Marines from Camp Pendleton and the Osprey was based out of Hawaii. The tilt-rotor aircraft was one of two taking part in a 12-day routine international exercise involving troops from multiple countries.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis condemning Saturday's racist shooting at a Dollar General in Jacksonville.
This guy killed himself rather than face the music and accept responsibility for his actions, and so he took the coward's way out.
Police say the 21-year-old killer shot to death three black people before taking his own life. He had swastikas painted on one of his weapons. Today marks 60 years since Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning.
60 years later, civil rights activist Juan Williams says much progress on race relations has been made, but there's still much work to do.
We live in an era where we had the first black president, but we've also had a knee on George Floyd's neck.
President Biden and Vice President Harris will be taking part in the anniversary celebrations today, marking the 60th anniversary of King's iconic speech. Wednesday will mark the two-year anniversary of the end of America's longest war. The Biden administration calls our exit from Afghanistan a success, but California Congressman Mike Garcia says nothing could be further from the truth.
It was time to withdraw, but the way you withdraw, and frankly, the extent to which you withdraw matters, okay? We all know the way we withdrew was the wrong way, and that's why we lost so many lives and left so many folks behind.
In our exit from Afghanistan, 13 U.S. service members were killed in a terrorist bombing at the Kabul airport. Over the course of the 20-year war, the U.S. lost 2,400 troops and spent $2 trillion trying to kick the Taliban out of Afghanistan. Two decades later, the Taliban controls Afghanistan. A judge expected to set a trial date later today for Donald Trump. This is the trial in Washington related to the attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6. Trump attorney Alina Haba says political opponents are trying to keep the ex-president in court and off the campaign trail.
It's to tie him up. It's definitely political. They intentionally waited years to bring it now when he is the leading candidate for the Republican Party.
GOP presidential hopeful Chris Christie says he's concerned about a potential Trump nomination in 2024.
What it'll mean for folks across the country is four more years of Joe Biden.
The former New Jersey governor says he's amazed that six of the eight candidates at last week's GOP debate said they'd support Trump if he is the nominee, even if he he's convicted. Republican presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy calling himself unapologetically pro-fossil fuel.
For every 100 people who died of a climate-related disaster in 1920, two die today. And the reason why is more abundant and plentiful access and use of fossil fuels.
He claims technological advances powered by fossil fuels are the solution to, not the cause of, climate change. Hawaiian officials releasing the cause of those catastrophic wildfires that may have killed hundreds on the island of Maui. Downed power lines are what sparked the deadly blaze. Hawaii's governor and several members of the Biden administration are taking heat for suggesting it was caused by global warming. What a way to end the Little League World Series.
Challenge you!
What a story that young man will have to tell. Louis Lappe walking it off to give the title to California over Curaçao. 6-5 your final Sunday in South Williamsport. Still to come on the Noon Report for Monday. Pro-life group celebrates 25 years. Why grapes and apples could cost you more this fall. And migrants forced to vacate the premises.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams, time for a mixed afternoon of some sunshine, a couple of scattered showers. Forecast details are up in 10.
All right, Kevin, we will see you then. Let's check the stories making news across New York and Pennsylvania. An earthquake struck northeastern Ohio late last night, not far from Erie, Pennsylvania. Those aftershocks were felt as far away as western New York. The quake measured 3.6 on the Richter scale near the Lake Erie shoreline. The autumn bounty will be less bountiful this year due to a freeze in May that killed much of the apple and grape crop. Experts say the harvest at orchards and vineyards in New York will be noticeably smaller, and that could mean higher prices.
The temperature went down to 27 degrees for about 5 hours, so some of the very young fruit was damaged, and we experienced some crop loss.
Laura Tanike owns an apple farm in the Hudson Valley. Over 30 counties in New York were impacted by the May freeze. New York is the second largest producer of apples anywhere in America and the third leading grape producer. The Pennsylvania State Senate gets to work this week in Harrisburg to try and hammer out a budget agreement that'll free up $1 billion in spending. The fiscal impasse is due to Governor Shapiro's veto of a school choice bill. He has agreed with Republicans to allow for the expansion of charter schools, which are publicly funded but independently run. The Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valleys will be holding its annual fall fundraising banquet on Thursday and Friday night, September 21st and 22nd, at the Watson Homestead in Painted Post and Four Square Church in Dansville. There is no cost to attend, but you must register at familylife.org/events. I spoke today with the executive director of the Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valleys, Charlene Reedy. The other side of this, Planned Parenthood and those like Planned Parenthood have launched a public relations campaign to try to characterize pregnancy resource centers as something they are not. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that people have when it comes to the work that you do?
Well, they call us fake clinics and that we will force women into having their babies. And none of that is actually true. We are, Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valleys is really one of the only pro-life organizations out there that actually also brings Jesus or a faith element to our time with the clients. We offer information on all three options when a woman becomes pregnant. We tell them what an abortion is. We explain that, including the chemical abortion. We explain adoption and how that can be beneficial. We also help them to parent. That's the optimal God's plan for children.
That is Charlene Reedy with the Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valleys. Her group serves abortion vulnerable women at four locations: Mount Morris, Hornell, Bath, and Corning. Trained nurses nurses under a doctor's supervision offer free ultrasounds to women who face crisis pregnancies.
The enemy of pregnancy resource centers is in full force right now, and there's a lot of confusion out there. There's just been so many changes in how New York State, in particular, operates. We do not have a friendly administration. We are under a lot of scrutiny right now.
All the money raised at the fundraising banquets will go to continue the work of promoting life at the Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valleys, celebrating 25 years of existence. You can register again at familylife.org/events. New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney says the migrant crisis is out of control, and she blames New York's governor.
Kathy Hochul actually put $1 billion in new taxes in last year's budget for taxpayers to pay for it. When you look at the cost to the New York taxpayers, the most beleaguered taxpayers really in the nation, why are we putting this cost on them? And then to bring them upstate, there's no evidence that these people are being vetted.
Tenney says the policies of Governor Hochul have served as a magnet to attract illegal immigration in the Empire State. Migrants staying at a hotel in Cheektowaga have been evacuated because of a broken sprinkler. Family Life's Dee Haley.
Cheektowaga police report that migrants staying at Best Western Hotel on Genesee Street have been evacuated. The hotel can no longer be occupied. The power has been shut off following a broken sprinkler head that reportedly caused damage to the hotel. DocGo is working to relocate the migrants. A New York State Supreme Court judge issued a restraining order on Friday night, prohibiting hotels in Cheektowaga from accepting more asylum seekers. A hearing is set for this afternoon to determine if the new restraining order should remain in effect. Migrants at a hotel on Dingin Street are already being moved to a hotel in Amherst. That process is expected to take about a week. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
A mystery 200-year-old time capsule was opened today at West Point. That small lead box had been accidentally discovered last May inside the marble base of a monument dedicated to a Revolutionary War hero. It's believed to have been buried in the late 1820s by a group of cadets, including Robert E. Lee, the future Confederate general. There's a mad dash to lessen natural gas use in New York. State Senator George Borrello says climate change alarmists have no clue, however, how to make alternative energy more mainstream.
They think that if New York State decrees it, that somehow the seas will part and the technology will suddenly appear that's not there, and that the infrastructure required will somehow magically appear.
The Republican representative says New York's 19 million residents are starting to push back against the electrification effort.
Well, I think they're starting to finally feel the impact of this from their constituents, and I hope that they do, because they've been living in this fantasy world for long enough.
State Republicans fear if the Green New Deal becomes reality, gas prices will go up more than 60 cents a gallon, and energy prices will rise by over 80%. Today marks day six of the Great New York State Fair. It also marks the halfway point to those festivities in Syracuse. REO Speedwagon performing at the main concert stage tonight. It's also Law Enforcement Day at the fair, which means all police officers all over New York get in free. Flooding last month left dozens homeless in Canandaigua, New York, and many are still having a tough time getting access to state aid.
They did not make it an easy process for anybody to qualify. And from what I'm hearing on the street, nobody's qualifying.
Tammy Genest had 5 feet of water in her basement from the July flood and spent weeks trying to secure help from Albany.
There's just no end in sight. You can come back in a year, and I think we'll still be trying to fix this or that.
The governor's made $3 million in flood assistance available in 8 counties that were flooded, but getting access to that aid has been anything but easy. School starts next week in New York, and several schools in Onondaga County are making breakfast and lunch available free of charge to every student.
The cost of food is really expensive now, so to not have to worry about that and know that your kids kid is eating breakfast and lunch while they're at school. That's just really amazing.
In Onondaga County, nearly one in five children do not know where their next meal will come from. Eat your fruits and veggies. Ever heard that before? It's a phrase kids dread to hear, but one Pennsylvania school district is hoping to change that.
The York, Pennsylvania School District is looking for ways to make eating new fruits and vegetables more exciting. The district will receive just over $250,000 from the Federal Fresh Fruits and Vegetables Program. The funds will allow the district to provide students with a variety of fruits and vegetables like dragon fruit or yellow watermelon at no cost to them. A representative for York County Schools says by offering more and new fruits and vegetables, they hope to keep students ready to learn this school year and bring a sense of curiosity and willingness to try something new. Funds from the program can also be used to plant and sustain community gardens. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
The final tennis Grand Slam of the year gets underway today in Queens, New York, and Buffalo native Jessica Pegula is looking to win her first major title. The third-ranked player in the world will be in action tomorrow. Pegula is the highest-ranked American woman in the field of competition at this year's U.S. Open. More sports next, our Monday edition on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, we begin with the incomparable Simone Biles and her unprecedented 8th U.S. National Championship title in gymnastics. This girl doesn't just win, she dominates the competition like no one before her has. In a sport where tenths of a point often decide the winners, Biles won by 4 points over the second place finisher. She's definitely ready for the Olympic Games in Paris next year. Your Little League World Series champions coming from California as they got a walk-off home run from Lewis Lapp to edge Curacao 6-5. To the big boys, in the American League West, we are really going to have a dogfight the rest of the way in. Seattle has now moved into the top spot by one game over Texas and Houston. The Mariners beat Kansas City 3-2, Houston walloped the Tigers 17-4, and Texas fell to Minnesota 7-6 in 13 innings. Other American League scores, Toronto fell to Cleveland 10-7 in 11, Tampa Bay beat the Yanks 7-4, and the A's lost to the White Sox 6-1. In the National League, the Phillies swept the Cardinals with a 3-0 win, the Cubs down the Pirates 10-1, Milwaukee beat San Diego 10-6, Miami edge Washington 2-1, Arizona a 5-2 winner over Cincinnati, and the Giants knocked off Atlanta 8-5. Interleague action saw the Mets come out on top of the Angels 3-2, Colorado edge Baltimore 4-3, and the Dodgers beat the Red Sox 7-4. Chris Buescher won NASCAR's regular season finale after taking the checkered flag at Daytona. Brad Keselowski second, Eric Almirola rounded out the top three. Bubba Wallace came in 12th, but that was good enough to clinch the final playoff spot. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy Mann. Still to come on the Noon Report, Adalia eyeballs Florida Gulf Coast. Trial date for Donald Trump and the dark side of the internet.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. 60 years ago today, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C. The most well-known line in King's speech is this one, quote, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." That vision has never been fully realized, and its greatest threat today is a set of ideas that purport to advance racial justice, but instead oppose it. Critical race theory and the critical theory mood that infects so many areas of our culture are all about issuing judgments about the character of entire groups of people based solely upon the color of skin. Well, 20 years ago, in a commentary about this historic speech, Chuck Colson articulated why only the Christian vision of the human person can ground an understanding of human rights, can ground universal human dignity and the value that should extend to everyone. Here's Chuck Colson.
More than 40 years ago, on August 28, 1963, a 250,000 people gathered in front of the Lincoln Memorial. They marched here for the cause of civil rights. And that day they heard Martin Luther King Jr. deliver his famous I Have a Dream speech, a speech in which he challenged America to fulfill her promise. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." While we know of the speech, most people are unaware that King also penned one of the most eloquent defenses of the moral law, the law that formed the basis for his speech, for the civil rights movement, and for all of the law, for that matter. In the spring of 1963, King was arrested for leading a series of massive nonviolent protests against the segregated lunch counters and discriminatory hiring practices rampant in Birmingham, Alabama. While in jail, King received a letter from 8 Alabama ministers. They agreed with his goals, but they thought that he should call off the demonstrations and obey the law. King explained why he disagreed in his famous letter from a Birmingham jail. One might well ask, he wrote, how can you advocate breaking some laws and obeying others? The answer is found in the fact that there are two kinds of laws, just laws and unjust laws. One has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws, King said. But conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. How does one determine whether the law is just or unjust? A just law, King wrote, squares with the moral law of the law of God. An unjust law is out of harmony with the moral law. Then King quoted St. Augustine, an unjust law is no law at all. He quoted Thomas Aquinas, an unjust law is a human law not rooted in eternal or natural law. This is the great issue today in the public square. Is the law rooted in truth? Is it transcendent, immutable, and morally binding? Or is it simply whatever courts say it is? Do we discover the law, or do we create it? Many think of King as a liberal firebrand waging war on traditional values. Nothing could be further from the truth. King was a great conservative on this central issue, and he stood on the shoulders of Augustine and Aquinas, striving to restore our heritage of justice rooted in the law of God. Were he alive today, I believe he'd be in the vanguard of the pro-life movement. I also believe that he would be horrified at the way in which out-of-control courts have trampled down the moral truths he advocated. From the time of Emperor Nero, who declared Christianity illegal, to the days of the American slave trade, from the civil rights struggle of the 60s to our current battles against abortion, euthanasia, cloning, and same-sex marriage, Christians have always maintained exactly what King maintained.
That was Chuck Colson, reflecting on the ideas that shaped the I Have a Dream speech given 60 years ago by the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. For more resources to live like a Christian today, visit breakpoint.org.
Outside we go next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon, fairly sunny from Niagara to Lake Erie. Farther east, a better chance of a couple of scattered showers and thundershowers with some mixed sunshine. High temperatures in the 70s. For tonight, tomorrow, some clouds, a shower here and there. Low temps tonight near 60, 70s tomorrow. On Wednesday, cooler, sun and clouds, a couple of scattered showers and breezy. High temperatures on Wednesday, mid-60s to the mid-70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's happening the 28th of August. The first hurricane to strike the U.S. mainland this year will hit Florida this week. Her name, Idalia, forecast to make landfall Wednesday afternoon along the Gulf Coast of Florida. Rain and storm surge, the biggest concern.
That wall of water, upwards of 6 to 9 feet. Plus, we've got tornadoes very possible. And of course, damaging, soaking rainfall, intense rainfall, upwards of 12 inches of rain.
Today's show meteorologist Al Roker says there's a lot not to like about Idalia. The FBI investigating the deadly Saturday shooting at a Florida Dollar General as a hate crime. The gunman shot to death 3 black people before he turned his weapon on himself.
In times like these.
Just steps from the scene of the deadly Dollar General store shooting in Jacksonville, hundreds gathered Sunday to honor the victims.
We cannot tolerate hate against our black community.
Among the 3 people killed was Gerald Galleon, who was shot as he entered the store. He leaves behind a 4-year-old daughter.
How do you even begin to explain to her what happened?
We haven't.
You haven't?
She doesn't know yet. We're trying to figure out the words to tell her because she was a daddy's girl.
Surveillance video captured 21-year-old Ryan Christopher Palmetter walking up to the store. Authorities say he wore a face covering, latex gloves, and a bulletproof vest under his shirt. He was also armed with 2 firearms, including an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle covered with swastikas.
Manuel Bohorquez in Jacksonville, Florida. A judge today setting a trial date for Donald Trump. This is the trial in Washington, D.C. related to the January 6th Capitol attack. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich thinks he knows why Trump's legal woes are not impacting his poll numbers.
Many people who may or may not like Trump's personality look at this and they think, I'm going to side with a guy
who has the guts to stand there and take the beating and keep coming. I mean, you know, Trump could easily have retired. And if he'd retired, none of these charges would ever have occurred.
The former president's been indicted four times, collectively facing over 700 years in the slammer of convicted on every one of the 91 charges filed in Georgia, New York, D.C., and Florida. President Biden pressuring Congress for $40 million in new spending toward the development of a new COVID shot. He's recommending once it's available, everybody get it, whether they've been vaccinated or not. Infectious disease expert Dr. Marty McCarry.
The question is, do we have any good human data? Do we have any results that it actually works? And I was surprised the president went ahead and said that it not only works, but it's necessary. And we don't have any public information about this vaccine.
A new COVID booster should be available next month. Children are not spending enough time outside these days, and it's fueling an epidemic of nearsightedness or myopia. Experts blame screens and a lack of sunshine. On average, 5 to 16-year-olds in this country spend less than 10 minutes a day playing outside. They're spending 4 to 6 hours a day in front of screens. Well, next at noon, a special feature on family life. There is a danger lurking in your home. It's in schools, too, and at your local public library. While the internet is not inherently bad, some have found a way to use it for evil, and they're going after your children, too. An upcoming event at Family Life helps parents navigate the dangers of the World Wide Web. Here's Family Life's Therese Main.
Would you let your kindergartner go swimming in a tank full of sharks? You are anytime you let them go on the internet unsupervised. It's a playground for predators. In fact, 88% of human trafficking is now taking place online.
Through social media, through apps, through gaming, through, you know, just anywhere. That's where trafficking is taking place. It is especially important for parents to realize the younger your children are, the bigger of a target they have on their head. And so today, the average age where a child is being given access to a smart device is 6 years old.
That's Lisa Hansen, CEO and founder of Power Over Predators. She's part of the Dark Side of Social Media seminar coming to Family Life on October 21st. Parents and teens will learn the reality of what is lurking online. According to the Department of Justice, there are more than 500,000 internet predators. That's a lot for any child to navigate.
You think about your kiddo, one child up against 500,000 sharks swimming through that internet, and how likely is your child going to go unscathed is my question to a lot of parents. So this is not a guilt trip. This is just something you've got to be aware of. And so more importantly than anything is, you know, you might be a parent who's going to be like, I am not going to have internet for my child. My kid's just not going to have it, plain and simple. Or I'm going to give my kid a phone that does not have internet access so that we can communicate. Or, you know, what I'm going to have to do is have daily conversations with my kids. I'm going to have to be the one sitting down with my kid while they're playing a game on an app. I mean, we just have to rethink everything as parents when it comes to devices for our kids.
The statistics are sobering, and it might make you think you should turn off internet access immediately. But instead of living in fear, Lisa says we should teach our kids how to keep the upper hand by having them come to an adult whenever they get a pop-up.
That is what we call phishing. It is clickbait. So think about that. If you're the fish and somebody's dropping bait, there's a hook in there. Even if it's a safe thing for somebody and it doesn't actually have anything nefarious behind it, just create in your mind that is a piece of bait that potentially has a hook. It's not worth the risk, because if we bite, we get that hook in our mouth and it could be dangerous for us in the long run. So if we give people especially children, the power to say, I'm not going to click on that. I'm not going to take that bait. They have power right there. Instead of being afraid, they have agency to walk away or swim away, if we want to look at it that way.
You might think it's innocent enough, posting content with your baby or toddler. And turning 13 has come to mean your first Instagram account. Before long, it's Get Ready With Me videos for middle schoolers. Why do our kids fall for the attention they get from online predators? Well, it goes back to our human need to feel loved.
We want to be seen known and loved for who we are. And so if we are struggling with feeling that way and believing that somebody is loving us enough to where we feel seen, we know we're seen, we know we're loved, why wouldn't we open up the world to our bedroom, to our fashion, to our style? Because we're correlating all of that to our identity, but that's a false identity. You know, if you are really being seen, known, loved, cared for, then all of that requires protection. So, you know, for me, it's like, I get so concerned behind the mindset that that is where we find our identity, is through getting ready with me. I mean, just think about that. It's like, it's with, it's community, it's being seen. And this is not a shaming conversation. This is a, ask yourself the question, are you the author of your story or is somebody else writing this script for you? It's because we're looking for community.
Hear more about the dark side of social media and what you can do about it October 21st at Family Life in Bath, New York. Lisa Hansen from Power Over Predators will be joined by Joseph Sweeney from the Acervo Project. Ticket sales are happening online right now at familylife.org. I'm Therese Main, Family Life News.
All right, Therese, thank you for that special report. And this is the Noon Report, a Monday edition on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Of course, the National Weather Service continues to be the monitoring of Idalia, a storm that could become a major hurricane as it moves toward the upper Florida coast in the next 24 to 36 hours. No such concerns here, but a couple of scattered showers will be in the mix into tonight in parts of the area, with a cold front set to reinforce the cool air later in the week. Our call for this afternoon, fairly sunny from Niagara to Lake Erie. Farther east, a better chance of a couple of scattered showers and thundershowers with some mixed sunshine. High temperatures in the 70s. But tonight, tomorrow, some clouds, a shower here and there. Low temps tonight near 60, 70s tomorrow. On Wednesday, cooler, sun and clouds, a couple of scattered showers and breezy. High temperatures on Wednesday, mid-60s to the mid-70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you kindly. And finally at noon, it's one of the hottest sporting activities in America right now, pickleball. Everybody's doing it. Family Life's Greg Gillespie takes a look back at its history and growth through the years.
The game is essentially hitting a baseball-sized wiffle ball over a tennis net on a badminton court. The number of pickleball courts have quintupled, five times as many as there were just 12 years ago. Pickleball got its start in 1965 when the Lieutenant Governor of Washington had a teenager who was bored in the summertime. The son complained there was nothing to do, but the family didn't allow complaining. So the bored 13-year-old challenged his dad to invent a game. Joel Pritchard pieced together the game, which morphed into pickleball, a sport now played by nearly 3 million Americans. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
It is certainly popular. Thank you, Greg. And just like that, we are out of time. That's the world we live in. Monday, August 28th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.